Anyhow, thank you for that again. So the world has gone after him. It's in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. And you know, we look at Palm Sunday. We look at it as a holiday. We look at this as a holiday and we think, well, you know, I remember as a kid growing up going to church and having a palm and, you know, a long leafy branch. But you know, in Israel, there are plenty of palm trees around in different areas there. And so kings and different people at times over the years have used palms and they have used as a victory. One day in heaven, in Revelation, I love this because one day you and I, when we stand before the throne of God in Revelation 7, 9 and 10 says, and this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which includes all of us in the church as well, all our loved ones, people all going to be standing around God's throne, worshiping Him. It's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. Yeah, I stake my life on it. I stake my salvation on it, because that's what I believe. That's all I got, you know. Which no man could number of all nations and kindred and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, that's you and I, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb of God, the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. This world needs Jesus more than anything else. You know, I think about in the news recently, look at, you know, three governors, just list a couple things that are going on today because my point is people need the Lord. The three governors in Pennsylvania, our governor in Wisconsin, that our governor there in Michigan, that governor, all voted for voter ID. Guess what? The governors all said no. They vetoed it. So, you don't have to have an ID anymore in our state. Pray for our governor because, you know, I don't think he's doing what's right. Pray for him. And one governor also in Colorado, pray for them as well. You can get an abortion the same day as you're delivering the baby in Colorado. The same day. It's grotesque. It's disgusting. I pop and look. I had to get my glasses on. You know, I had to make sure I was reading this. Same day baby's being born from mother's womb, and they can abort that. Governor of Colorado signed that into law. And then also we just had a radical Supreme Court justice been now in place and coming up in June. It's a lot of 5-4 votes. It's pretty close because some people call themselves conservatives or not. They go with the liberal radical agenda. So coming up in June, and also we need to pray for our Republicans as well, because there were three of them, one from Alaska, Utah, and Connecticut that voted for this lady. So pray. These people aren't all what they claim to be. And then also in Title 42, that goes away and already in May, next month, that means everybody can come over the border. Everybody. They already got 30,000 people in El Salvador. They're ready to come. Oh yeah, they say about 18,000 a day come into our borders. A lot of them are not even said so about. So we need to, we live in unsettling times. And, you know, I like what one person said. He always looked at this on a lighter type of way. He goes, I was trapped once in a woman's body, and talk about transgenderism, it's a horrible thing, but then I was born. So you look at it that way. You know, you look at it on a lighter side of things, you have to, because our country's going downhill. It's going downhill. And I'm not one to talk about jokes because this is serious stuff here. But sometimes we just have to look at things on a lighter side. And that, at Jesus' time, they were living in unsettling times. They had the Romans that were in control of much of the area in that world at that time. And it's interesting that As a Christian today, we have governments that are in control around us, and we need to continue to pray for our government, pray for our government. And at that time, the Jewish people, I'm sure they were thinking of the Roman bondage at that time. We're thinking, you know, we need a deliverer. We need somebody to help us. Well, you know, on the world scene at that time, there's a man called Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, that came on the world scene. They never seen anything like this man before. He would heal people. He would cause the blind to see. He would take away leprosy. He'd have people that were crippled, raise them back up. He had thousands of people flock to him all the time. Who are you anyway, Jesus? It's kind of interesting. We're going through the same times now. I don't think it would be any different today, because you have a lot of religion here in the United States, but then you have the same attitude. Oh, come on. Take care of me. Heal me. That's why so many churches are filled today with mega churches, about with faith healers and all these miraculous signs, because they're looking for something other than this, the Bible. Very simple. Very basic. They're looking for an extra thrill. And that's what a lot of these people were looking for. I'm going to look at that in a minute here. It's interesting. It's no different than it was about 2,000 years ago. People are still people. We still do the same thing every day. Now, look at verse 12. The crowds at the Passover. Josephus says there was between, in verse 12 it says, and on that next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Josephus says there's between 2 and 3 million people that came to that feast or Passover, and that they had heard of this Jesus. Now, look in verses chapter 12, and I'm going to read to you verse 1, verses 9 through 11. It says, and then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So Bethany is on the other side of Mount of Olives, which is about a couple miles away from Jerusalem. A little town. You know, people didn't think much of it. You know, it's like a suburban area. Like we have, you know, today from Milwaukee, we have Oconomowoc and other areas around. It wasn't much different. And then verse 9 says, and much people, the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus only, but for that they might see Lazarus also, whom it raised from the dead. So you had a lot of buzzing going on, a lot of people talking, a lot of mouths moving, a lot of ears listening, a lot of people looking around like, wow, what is going on? A man really raised from the dead? If you had that going on today, you would have the world going after him. You know, who can raise people up from the dead? It's amazing. You know, our medical practices cannot do it. No one's ever raised anybody from the dead. That is impossible. You cannot raise somebody from the dead. Any doctor will tell you that. Once you're clinically dead, you're dead unless they can resuscitate you. And I think there's a certain amount of time that a person has before their mind shuts down and they're gone. They become a vegetable, you know. So, but the chief priest, verse 10, said that they might put Lazarus also to death. Oh my goodness, you have opposition. You would think somebody could raise somebody from dead. People would actually say, you know what, this is really, you know what, we need to get to him right away, and we need to honor him. He must be God or something. Look at all the miracles he did. Why not follow Jesus? And yet you had people going after Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Today you have people got Jesus for all the wrong reasons, because they're not seeking him first. They don't put him first, and they don't read God's word, and they don't understand. They just look at all the goodies. You know, we like the goodies. You know, give us eternal life, Jesus. You know, take care of my daughter. She's sick. Take care of my husband. He needs to go to the doctor. Take care of him. And now they want to kill him because the religious leaders are like, oh my goodness, we can't have this. You know, the world could be so much of a better place if certain politicians and certain people did the right thing. Amen. They could do the right thing and we could be much better off. And, you know, if some churches would do the right thing, they'd be much better off. And it's not about the crowds of people. I tell people that over and over. It seems like a lot of people don't even listen to what I have to say. I say, God looks at the heart. He judges the heart. He does not look at numbers. You know? And we look at that today. We have a lot of churches. We have big churches, other churches that are, I feel that they're not, really don't even have God in their heart. I don't. But that's between them and the Lord. That's not for me to judge. For us is to have a loving, discerning heart and to go out and reach them for Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So because God can take a bad situation, turn around for good, that's exactly what happens. How many times have we been through trials and tribulations, God's taken something and turned it around for good? Isn't that a blessing? You know, say, how can you do this, Lord? Look at my life. You know, I'm in shambles. I'm crying. I'm just about ready to fall over. I'm just done. And God's saying, I love you. Come here. And he gets you back up and, you know, he comforts you and he takes care of you. And he just changes things around because he has a plan for you because he loves us. His love, his ways are above our ways. We don't understand them. I still don't understand them to this day. I still scratch my head when I come home and I said, where are the people? Why are they just telling me, yeah, I'll come on out to church. Oh, yeah. Of that number three, yes, I am a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. Or number three, well, yeah, kind of. There's a lot of kindas out there. They're everywhere. There are more of those than yes and no's out there. Because people are from the world. They love this world. But they put Christian on there. They put the tag on there, you know. And you say, oh, yeah, I know about that. I can go there like any grocery store. Around there, a bunch of grocery stores. I can go there and go to any church I want. Why? You know. I'll go there when I can. So don't put it off. Don't put it off. You never know. Paul said that. Jesus said that. Other people have said it. Don't put it off. You never know. God may call you home. So here comes Jesus. This is the background. They're out to kill him. They're out to kill Lazarus. They're out to kill Jesus, like I'm saying. And here it was. Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And you had the foreign pilgrims coming in, and you had those from Bethany that heard that Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. So you had a lot of people coming in. Millions of people. Been to a baseball game before, and there's a lot of people. It's like, oh my goodness, how can, you know, I'm reminded of that verse there in Revelation that I read that it's innumerable. You couldn't even count. It's like the sands of the sea, the people around God's throne. There's a lot of people, you know. We're not the only ones. Thank God he loves us because we're just one, right? I'm still here. It says here that, look at this, verse 12, the false concept. It's just amazing. You have Jesus, the Son of God here. You have him right here in the flesh. And people already, they're deceived. Of course, we know who the master deceiver is. We've got to be careful that we don't deceive ourselves from listening to his lies, our enemy. Verse 12 says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast when they heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, verse 13, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Now, Hosanna is not just a praise term, but it's a Hebrew imperative. That means to save us now, reveal your power. And so, they had remembered not long ago, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. Just go back in your Bibles real quickly here to John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Same book where you're at. John chapter 6, 14 and 15. It says, when those men, when they said, seeing the miracle that Jesus did, feeding the 5,000, said, this is of a truth that a prophet that should come into the world. You would think these people would be excited. Yes, they were. Remember, they're more than 5,000. There were about 15,000, including all the women and children and so on and so forth. You think there would be a major outbreak of a revival. People would be getting saved and all. But that's not what happened. People were looking for the miracle, but they weren't ready for Jesus. When Jesus, therefore, perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain itself alone. So these people wanted a king, but they didn't want the king, the Messiah, the Son of God. They didn't want his forgiveness. They just wanted a temporary king, just like all the others. Remember what happened back in the Old Testament with the judges? And then finally Samuel said, you know, from the Lord to Saul, he says, well, you know, I'll make you king, because obviously the, you know, Israel is the same way. They hadn't changed. People haven't changed. People like to have a king today. People like to see our country as number one, the most powerful. We got everything we want. But they don't want King Jesus. You know, they want a different king, different president. Well, things are going terrible right now, but they don't want King Jesus. They want somebody else. You know, let's be like everybody else. Let's be number one. Yeah, I'd rather be the last in line, because then I know God could use me if I empty of myself and put him first. And we see here, they cried out to Hosanna, going back to John chapter 12, verse 13. And so they cried out, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, they've done that repetitively in the Psalms 118. They look forward to for a Messiah. It's kind of interesting, because where you have the Mount of Olives there, you have one of the biggest graveyards there in Israel, right outside Jerusalem today. And they look forward to being resurrected, come with the Lord. They're looking forward to that. You know, but that's where Jesus is going to stand on the Mount of Olives, both feet firmly planted on that mountain. It's going to break in two, and that's at the end of the tribulation, and he's going to come triumphantly through. They already knew that. They figured this was going to happen. You know, they remembered Zechariah 14:4. They remembered Jesus was going to come back. All they had to do is read the Pentateuch, read the Old Testament. Did they know? Did people do that today? No, they don't. You know, people go after the wrong things in the world. But they don't go after the Bible that's in the world. We can be in the world, but not of the world. And yet people confuse themselves. They think, well, I can live in the world. And that light starts going out, starts dimming out. And people, you know, get confused. Christians today get confused with the world, because they become in the world, but not of the world. They start becoming in and of the world. It says here in, see, in verse 14, we looked at the false concept. They're going after a false king. The true concept comes in verses 14 and 15, going back to John chapter 12. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass or colt, sat thereon as it was written. Now, you think about it. It was supposed to be a symbolic, a colt was supposed to be symbolic of someone who was tame, you know, of peace. And we look at verse 15, it says, fear not, daughter of Zion. And it says here, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And they're quoting again right after there in Zechariah 9:9. And the daughter of Zion is Israel. And they have to understand something here, but people don't want to hear this, is that they're looking for peace. And that's exactly what this cult was symbolic of, was peace. People are looking for peace today. They're looking for, let's do away with wars. Let's do away with all the injustice. Look what's happening in Ukraine. It's just a horrible thing going on. You have people being killed, people losing their homes, families, children leaving, not being able to take a hot shower or a hot bath, being properly clothed, being cold and hungry. And so, but you have Jesus coming in here, and it's just, you know, a beautiful sight. Here they are. They're laying down their clothes before this Jesus coming in, riding a colt. And in Luke's passage there, they had to go find this colt. And disciples found it for Jesus, because there's three other passages that, you know, the other three gospels that mention this. And they found the colt. And, you know, in Jewish custom there, if you hadn't ridden an animal that's rideable, then that means that's a special animal. And it's like a kingly animal. And it's for a special reason. And so they found the colt, brought him before Jesus. Jesus rode through, and the people were ecstatic. They were saying, "Hosanna, here he comes." And I could see them throwing, taking their coats and taking them and laying them down on the ground. And we think about what happened there in 2 Kings 9:13. We have Jehu, the king. They did that for him in Israel. They laid down his garments. So there was that people, it was a sign of humility. They would lay their garments down. They were taking their palms and they were waving them, because this is victory that we have. They were looking for a king. But how unfortunate it is that when Jesus, he said after all this was said and done, he wept in Luke's gospel about this, and he wept over Jerusalem because he knew that Titus was going to come not many years afterwards in AD 70, and he was going to the Roman general with his armies, because you had the rebellion of the Zealots, of the Jewish Zealots, came after the Roman garrison there, and they took it over, and then they started arresting, taking over the Roman guard, and by then Jerusalem in 70 AD is controlled by the Jews. But Jesus knew this. Isn't it nice to know? We don't know what our futures are. Isn't it nice to know? But Jesus knew, and he wept over Jerusalem, because he knew that in 70 AD what would happen is that starting in April 9th, that scholars told us just this month, I think today is the 10th, that the 9th, that you had Titus surrounded Jerusalem, and he started starving out the people. And the people that would starve and the ones that would run away, try to get away, he would crucify them. And historians tell us that they made a ramp of dead bodies, of dead bodies. Why? To send fear into the people. People didn't know this. They thought they had a king now. And Israel's had all kinds of problems because of the rebellion against God, against those that God has put in authority over them. They've had problems with idols, number one of the biggest problems. But that goes to show, even in our country today, our country, we don't know what the future holds. It could be very bad for us down the road. But you know what? It just brings me joy, because God's plan of the ages is coming together. His dispensation's coming in that time. It's just a matter of time. All these things will pass. Jesus knew this, so he wept there in Luke. The crowds looked faithful. They became fickle. People became, instead of God lovers, they became man pleasers. And you have that a lot in the world today. So, and he wept also to remember, because the temple would be destroyed. The Jews thought at that time, we have God's temple, God is here, just like it was in Jeremiah's time. Just like we may think, oh, we have the White House here today. We're looking good. We're the most prosperous nation. And yet we're only a little over 200 years old. But yet you had our president say not long ago, oh, we're the richest country in the world. Oh, that God could take that away in a blink of an eye. Just a blink of an eye. And yet, my point is, Jerusalem's time was coming. And they were looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. But when they found him, they missed the boat, so to speak, too. They missed it. Why? Because they were looking after their own gratification. They weren't ready to repent. Repentance is the best thing to grow close to God, is repentance. Because we're all sinners. Every one of these people out here in this neighborhood and everywhere around our neighbors that we're supposed to love, putting God first, loving our neighbor, they need Jesus too. So, verse 15, going back to John chapter 12, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the king cometh sitting on an as it's called, Zechariah 9:9, verse 16, disciples' reaction, these things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things that were written of him, that he had done these things unto him. Now, Jesus is talking about in the future, these things would happen. In John chapter 14, verse 26, we don't have time there, but that's when Jesus mentions, I'm going to send to you a comforter. Jesus knew. The disciples didn't. A lot of people were very confused about Jesus. Jesus was saying things they didn't understand. Thank God we have the Spirit of God that gives us discernment. Amen. There's people in the world today are totally confused because they never even cracked open the Bible. They maybe read like I did before I got saved. I read a little bit of Genesis and then I got lost in these stories. And I was like, 66 books. My goodness, that's a lot of books to go through. So, you know, if I get around to it before I die, that's really what I thought. Then I'll read the Bible. But to me, it was just another neat book to read. A storybook. It's real. But then you see here that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him. And things that were going to happen to Jesus happened. You know what happened? Jesus, after this, through this next week coming up, you had many things that Jesus did. There's too many things to talk about now, but eventually Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross. He rose again. And then the best part is found also too here in Luke chapter 24, verses 31 and 32. And I remember Peter and John walking on the road to Emmaus. And they were puzzled and they were troubled. Where is Jesus anyway? You know, by then, this time, the crowds had dispersed. They went back home. All the excitement was done. Jesus was crucified. And, you know, they were walking on the road. And it says verse 31 in Luke chapter 24, and their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? While he opened us the scriptures, remember Jesus appeared to them. Remember Jesus appeared to Mary. Remember Jesus appeared to 500. But yet the hearts were burning within them. And yet they understood. And yet God will reveal this to us too in due time. God has a way of burning, have this burning in our hearts that we understand him. So the disciples didn't understand it at first in verse 16. And then down in verse 17 and 18, we see the reaction. And the people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. So you had people that understood who he was then. And for this cause, the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. It's interesting to know that people, the Jews, look for a miracle, look for a sign. People are looking for that today. People are looking for more than just what we see today. They want something extra. There are four words used for the word spectacular. The first one is terrorist. It means a staggering, amazing, and dazzling. Okay, the second word is dunamis, is a powerful and effective explosive power. The third word is argon. It's a distinctive works, deeds, and miracles. The fourth one is simeon, which is a sign of that characterizes nature. This is the first one they were looking for. It was a staggering, amazing, and something dazzling. It was like, we want to see something happen. We want you to be king. We want you to be king now. We want to be delivered from Roman bondage. And we want to get on our lives as a nation. But remember, Jesus had something else in mind. As we see here in verse 19, you see that, you know, before we read verse 19, that we see that the crowds were there at the Passover. We had the false conception. We had the true conception. Then we have the disciples' reaction. Verse 16, the people's reaction in verses 17 and 18. And in verse 19, we have the Pharisees' reaction. And it's interesting, the Pharisees says, therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how that he prevails to nothing? You know, we have all these people following him. The world's gone after him. And yet nothing's happened. And yet, but watch out, because they're thinking now they are planning for the plot to kill Jesus. They're after him. The world is in a like a carnival atmosphere. They're going after all the things in the world that can offer them. Very few people actually wanted to turn the other way and accept Christ as their Savior or truly believed in him. And yet in a few other passages in the Gospels, they even warned Jesus. They said, Jesus, are you sure you're doing the right thing by doing this? Don't you know that Rome is watching you with their eyes? Don't you know that they have spies in about watching what you're doing? Better be careful. But Jesus was fulfilling prophecy, and he had to do this because it was one step closer to the cross. And so you have here that you had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the high priest, you had the Levites, you had all the religious people there. And yet they were saying amongst themselves, can't you see that this is really coming to nothing? And we see world today that they look at the Bible and they're looking for something great. And you're saying, I don't see anything coming of this. I don't see anything coming of this. They're in that group of number three that I was talking about. Either one, yes for God, two, no to God, or three, well, maybe, but I want to see something special. I got everything I need. I don't need anything else. Behold, the world is gone after him. So they were concerned. They were thinking, oh, I'm going to lose, you know, my position or whatever it is. You know, today people don't want to lose their position in life because they don't want to accept Christ as their Savior. They don't want to go through all the problems and all the issues. People are scared because they think, well, you know, I might lose something. That I have said, heard that so many times here and everywhere I've been. And I'm sure you've all heard that too. I don't want to lose something. People can gain everything through Jesus Christ. Verse 42 and 43 in John sums it up in John chapter 12. It says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because the Pharisees did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, it's so difficult today to try to witness to people for the Lord because they think, again, they're going to lose something. I don't want to hear this about Jesus Christ because you know what's going to happen? You know, my family may not like me. Rejection, hurt. But when God can use us and we're going, being part of the world, in the world, but not of the world, there's three areas I just want to touch on briefly. Says number one, we can overcome the world that's hateful with love. With love, number one. So we find that in John chapter 15, 17 and 18. Just turn over your Bibles. John's 15 verses here in 17 through 19. Excuse me. Jesus said, these things I command you. That means for all of us in the church today, that you love one another. Love is so much better. Love casts away all doubt, sin, guilt, envy, everything that's fleshly. It sets you free, and you have something like Christ that's in you, the hope of glory, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world will love its own, but because you are not of the world, that I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So God has chosen us. We need to continue on to encourage you this morning by the mercies of God that we need to continue to love. Set apart all that. If you're having a bad day, remember earlier this week, I woke up and I just felt really grouchy and irritable, and I needed to get along with God. And sometimes, it's, you know, we need to get things right with God. The flesh is sometimes so overpowering to us. We really need to pray to God that we can get that under control and with love. And second of all, he gives us a spirit of truth over error. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. It says over here, and as I get there, 1 John chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. It says, if ye are of God, little children, and I have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But we are of God, and knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know that we are a spirit of truth, and so there is the spirit of error. Going after the things that are going after the world today, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we know we have to deal with the devil and the world and our flesh. And yet we can overcome that with the Spirit of God that gives us, his love that he gives us. And then last but not least is that we need to put God first. If we're going with the world today, being in the world, not of the world, then we need to put God first. In James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. I like James because it's a parallelism between Proverbs. I love reading Proverbs and I love reading James because it really gives me wisdom, gives us wisdom. So we look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And so we need to put God says first. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain. You know, we do that every day. We go into town, we visit people, we go to work, we have families, we have responsibilities, we're busy bees. Whereas you know that what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? Even a little vapor appeareth here for a little time, vanishes, and it's away. You know, my daddy told me a long time ago, he says, you know, you are the master of your own soul. After I got saved, I realized that Jesus is the master of my soul. But he did have a little bit of truth there. Always learn that. Learn little bits that I can. That true, we do make our own choices. But God, you know, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and all thine understanding, and acknowledge him, and he shall guide thy paths. He will guide our paths every day. Verse 15, and for ye all to say, if the Lord will, we shall live or do this or do that. Say, I like to hear that. Lord willing, we can do this today. Between you and I, God, we can do this. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such joy, rejoicing is evil. In other words, their pride, they got a hold of them. There were some Christians that were living it up. God was blessing them, but they started walking away from God and getting into their flesh and their pride. And therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, we know to do what's right, but, you know, we go the other way. People today reject God. They know what's right. I know because we all have a conscience. The other day, I left church and I forgot to turn the lights out. You know why? And you may laugh at this, but that sun that comes up in the evening time, I was here Thursday night, and it was so bright after I turned the lobby lights on for, you know, I go out on evangelism Thursday nights. It was so bright. It was so beautiful. The sun was setting, and I was thinking, you know, Lord, I'm waiting for you to come back. I can't wait to get out here and tell people about the Lord. I waited for a while. The Lord was saying, you know, I'm going to go with you today. I'm going with you today again. I'm like, I got that. So I leave. Head on home, and something tells me you left the lights on. Isn't that discouraging? You know, it's like you come all the way home, and you left the lights on. You know you have to do the right thing. Right? Do right. Do right. So I turn all the way back around, turned out the lights, and I was like, what are you trying to tell me, Lord? And Lord's like, you are the light. You are the light. Keep those lights on. No, I didn't keep the lights on at church, no. Turn them off. But God wants us to be lights. He wants us to be lights. See somebody with healthy eyes. You see that sparkle, the window of their own soul lightens them up. that smile that they have, that joy that they have. God wants us to have joy in this world. Jesus went into this world to eventually die for us. And, you know, but the world is looking for the wrong king. Our need to pray for our representatives and for all our leaders there. They're looking, and I hate to say this, a lot of them are looking for themselves. You know, they think that they're number one. I pray every day for our leaders. They would turn to God, amen? They turn to God, please. Don't you see what you're doing to this great country? People who've died, you know, people we know and love who are in the military who died, who made the ultimate sacrifice for this country. But yet, you know, it's amazing because after Jesus went through and after they had waved their bombs and after it was all settled down and this and that, and Jesus knows everything, and he knew that he was out to be murdered because they were going to kill him. But I like to use the word murder because what they did to Jesus, they murdered him. It was all kinds of wrongs what they did to him. But yet, God understood everything. He said, you know, he wept and cried over Jerusalem, and you got people today that are looking for God all in the wrong places. And people go to holiday services, and, you know, I used to do that years ago. I used to go to holiday services only for Christmas and for Easter, you know. And I think, well, I did my thing, you know. I thought, well, this is kind of neat. I never understood because I was blinded by the God of the world. Pray this week, pray in this holiday, and I'm going to close with this, that people will come to know the Lord. You know, there's a lot of fancy and frills out there and a lot of nice things, families get together. There's nothing wrong with that, but people need the Lord. People need the Lord, and there are a lot of number threes out there. Oh, I've got just enough church, do just enough things, I think I'm going to be okay. But they are so far, they're worshiping the God of this world. They don't even know it. Of course they don't know it. They think you're crazy. But they look at the God of this world, and they look at an illusion of their own Jesus. It's the wrong Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. And there are a lot of people lost and going to hell today because they have the wrong Jesus. Guarantee you that. Every one of us knows that too. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we just ask you, God, that you would keep us humble, keep us right. Thank you for your spirit and your direction. Lord, we thank you that from the bottom of our hearts, we can claim the victory. One day we will be around that throne in heaven, the Lamb of God. We thank you for that. Physically, we're here right now, but one day we're going to go home to be with our loved ones. And Lord, we look forward to that. And we just pray for the people of this world, Lord. There is a God of this world that blinded the eyes and the hearts. And Lord, it's a counterfeit to who you are. We thank you that we know the truth, the way, and the life. And we pray that we will continue to be that way for people. Help us, though, to get ourselves out of the way so that you can be seen in us. In your name we pray. Amen.